The book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. We're going to begin reading in 37, just a few verses to begin with. We'll be dealing with those two chapters. Isaiah chapter 37, beginning in the beginning. "And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priest, and covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, 'Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh," that is the commander of an army, "whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer to the remnant that is left." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take our hearts, that you would draw us to your word. Father, that you would teach us, that you would challenge us, that you would prepare us for days ahead. And we thank you for all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you've been with us as we've been looking to Isaiah. He's been telling us about what's going to come at the end of time. He's been telling us about the reign of the Messiah, the millennial reign, and what a day, glorious day that will be. It is going to happen. But Isaiah now shifts, and he shifts back to his present day problem, the difficulties in Judah. You know, some people only want to look to the last days. Some people only want to know about what's going to happen at the end. Some people, you may know some people that are so caught up in the end that they're not caught up in the day. And some people are so heavenly minded that they're just no earthly good. We need to use God's word of the future as strength for the present, and we need to use God's word to live in the present as he directs us. So Isaiah takes some time to tell us about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was a believer. If you read very much about him, you're going to find that he was a believer that found himself in a whole lot of trouble. Hezekiah is a name that you may remember. I don't know how many of you have read the entire Bible. I hope you have. If not, I hope you're in that process. And when you finish, just start reading again. You can't read it too much. You need to get it in you. Maybe you could confirm in your hearts that you've read some of the minor prophets. And maybe you've read Zechariah and Haggai and Zephaniah and Malachi and Hezekiah. If you've read Hezekiah, you've read a book that's not in the Bible. But it kind of sounds like one, doesn't it? Hezekiah is a king. If he was to have a book, it would be located between Isaiah 36 and Isaiah 39. You know, a lot of people try to blame their parents for their troubles. "Oh yeah, I'm in trouble now, but you don't know how badly I was raised and how mean my parents were to me and how awful they were and how ungodly they were. I just couldn't do any better." Well, my friend, you're responsible for your choices. And Hezekiah grew up in a home of non-believers, of ungodly people, yet he is a man that still followed God. His father was King Ahaz. Ahaz was a loser. He was the worst king of Judah. Ahaz failed to follow the true God. In fact, Ahaz started making sacrifices to false gods. It was Ahaz that led Judah from worshiping the true God into worshiping pagan idols. In fact, he led to the practice of sacrificing children on the altar to pagan idols. He did it himself, sacrificed one of his own children. So Hezekiah was very fortunate to be alive. He was very fortunate that he escaped that punishment of his parents to be sacrificed to an idol. Today, I think of all the dear children that are blessed to be fortunate to be born in this country without being sacrificed in abortion. And you know, if you were fortunate enough to be born, you are blessed. It was Ahaz that went against God's desires and formed an alliance with ungodly Assyria. And now that alliance is going to backfire. I've done funerals for young people. They're always difficult. But on some, I've had the opportunity to talk about how much these young people have done that's great for God in a short amount of time. It's amazing when a young person passes away, but you can look at their life and their life made a difference for Jesus. Well, Ahaz became king at age 20. He served as king for 16 years. 16 years is a relatively short amount of time. But oh, the evil he packed in to those 16 years. So here's Hezekiah. He's sitting on his father's throne, but that's where the similarity ends. Hezekiah is a believer. Hezekiah broke with the culture of ungodliness. He put down the worship of idols and paganism. He lifted up the worship of the one true God and restored worship in the temple. He was a man that believed in God and pointed others to God and sought to live for God. Wasn't perfect, made many mistakes, but he did a lot right. Hezekiah was an individual that wanted to serve God and tried to serve God. So you're going to kind of think, well, this guy's doing right. He's living right. Everything's going to be good for Hezekiah. He's going to have smooth sailing because, don't you know, everybody that believes in God never has any difficulty. Well, if you think that about Hezekiah, you would be wrong. You know, there are false preachers preaching false doctrine, and there are some that are in the name it, claim it crowd. You know, you love God, you just name whatever it is, God will bless you with it. If you bow down to God, you will never have any sickness. You'll never have any sorrow. You'll be financially blessed. And in fact, if you give more to this ministry, you'll be blessed more. Now, that's not me talking, that's them talking. However, we don't mind when you give to this ministry. But, you know, these people that just say there are no troubles coming your way if you follow God and if you believe in God. I want to be clear. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is very clear. Problems come to people that do not know God. And problems come to people that do know God. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. Jesus said this, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Jesus never sinned once. Jesus always wanted to do what the Father God wanted him to do. Yet, if you follow Jesus' life, you will find out that he was despised. He was rejected. He was taken. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was nailed to a cross. Jesus, who obviously walked with God, who did nothing ever against God, did not sin any, even once, went through difficulties that we will never know. Obviously, it is not true to say that believers that walk with God won't have difficulties. We've got them. Now, I don't want to hear about them right now, but we've got them. You've got them. You've got them. You've got them. if you want to share them. Just have a you got them party sometime, but you can go through them all. You probably don't have time to do that. As strange as it may sound, if you will trust the Lord with your problems and your difficulties and what you're going through, God has promised He will use that to bless your life. The Bible says, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Now, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how abominable it is. God can take it, stick it in a blender, work it all up, turn it out good. Well, Brother Jerry, do you believe that? Yes, I do. I've experienced that. I know that it's true. And so... God makes it very clear that there will be difficulties that will come into life, everybody's life. And you know, if you didn't experience some of that, trusting God, you would not know the blessing of how powerful God is to get you through things. How many blessings God can give. Well, things are bad in Judah, and they need to cheer up because it's going to get worse. Here's Hezekiah, a godly king, one of the greatest kings of Israel, right up there with David and Solomon. This is what 2 Kings 18:5 says about him. He trusted in God so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So Hezekiah has things rough. When it rains, it pours. And that's what he was experiencing. Have you ever thought, oh my, it couldn't get any worse? And then it does. Well, some of you are there right now. When things get worse, what do you do? In 37, 1 and 2, he says, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defended cities of Judah. This is in 36, I'm sorry. All the defended cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem with a great army. Sennacherib, mighty leader, mighty destroyer of nations and people. Sennacherib heard that Hezekiah had formed an allegiance with Egypt, and it made him mad. It made him so mad that he invaded Judah. So things were bad. The Assyrian army had destroyed the fortified cities of Judah. Now, Judah set up with walled cities. Those walled cities circle Jerusalem. They are Jerusalem's protection. And so Sennacherib came in and he destroyed them all. He took over 200,000 people prisoner. Things are getting worse. And now Hezekiah wakes up one morning and that same army is outside the walls of Jerusalem. That's a dangerous situation to be in. They had walked through the best security that he had, and now they're outside his gates. When the devil gets you in a bad situation, he's going to leverage things to make you think that it's worse. He wants to heighten your fear, because fear will attack your faith. And when you stop believing, my friend, you lose your only stronghold. Sennacherib sent his officials to threaten Hezekiah. He said, we're out here, and I know you're terrified seeing this army, but we're going to make it worse. And so his officials come in. Hezekiah had an allegiance with Egypt. He thought that would help him out. But they came in and they told him that Egypt wasn't going to help them because Egypt had already been defeated. Hezekiah would turn to the Lord. That's a great thing to do. So the enemies came in and told Hezekiah, God won't help him, and God was the one that actually had ordered them to destroy him. Well, no, God didn't do that. But you know, the devil's crowd doesn't mind lying. Be careful. Satan tries to get you to believe that God is against you. Satan's crowd tries to pull you away from church, God's people, and God's house. They're trying to take you away from trusting in God. They want you to fear and to worry. They want you to be helpless. Listen, God is not against you. If you are saved, you should know that by what Jesus has done for you. If you are lost, God is not against you, and you should know that because you know what your life is like and you're still breathing. God's given you an opportunity to come to know him. Romans 5:8, believers, God commended his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isaiah 53:4, surely he, that is Jesus, took all our infirmities, carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Don't you ever believe that God is against you. The devil seeks to shake your faith, and he twists the truth. By the way, the devil is having a field day with media in America. He is twisting the truth so that you don't know who to believe. You don't know what to believe. Well, let me tell you, believe in Jesus. Put your trust there. The truth was, Hezekiah had destroyed false altars, but this is what the enemy says in 36:7. If you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, it is not he who has high places and whose altars, is it not he who has high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah, to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar. Now they say, you know, Hezekiah is not a leader you need to trust in. Hezekiah, they say that Hezekiah had destroyed all the altars to the one true God. That's not what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah destroyed the altars to the false gods. But you see, the devil doesn't mind twisting the truth. And we should know that in today's world. They shake their faith and try to shake their faith in Hezekiah. They try to shake the faith in their military. In 36:8, I will give you 2,000 horses if you be able on your part to get riders on them. Now the thrust that he was moving in, doubt your friends, that would have been Egypt. You know, doubt your God, the one true God. And now he says, doubt yourselves. He's saying that you got nobody to turn to, nobody's going to help you, and you don't even have 2,000, you don't even have 2,000 men to mount on horses. The devil's crowd seeks to spread fear. In verses 11 and 12, they were speaking loudly in Hebrew. And so they try to say, don't speak in Hebrew, speak in Aramaic. You see, the people were on the wall. They were hearing all of this, and they were becoming more and more afraid instead of believing God. And so they tried to get the enemy to speak in Aramaic so that many on the wall would not understand and they would not be fearful. The enemy focused on those on the wall. You draw our attention to the wall, we're going to be louder for those on the wall. Bringing doubts about Hezekiah, bringing doubts about God. In verse 18, beware lest Hezekiah persuades you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Listen to this. This is what they say. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his hand out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Whoa. That guy, I would have moved it away from him so fast. You know, those are words that would make you think lightning is coming. Well, God's got his plan. They were lying. They were saying, has any God ever helped anybody? You know what they were doing? They were comparing the one true God with the false gods. Well, no, the false God has not ever helped anybody. So God is coming together. Things are bad. They are very bad for Hezekiah. Then they get worse. What do you do when things get worse? Now, I'm glad you hung with me this long. This is all introduction. Now we're going to find out, what do you do? Surrender to God's will. 37 verse 1, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, and he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Things got bad, then things get worse, and immediately Hezekiah shows that he is grieved. He's not a man that's saying, look at me, I'm somebody, I am high and lifted up. No, he is humbled. He is lowering himself down. He tears his clothes. That was a sign in that culture of great grief. And can I tell you, when you are hurt, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. It's okay. But don't live there. Have your moment and then move on. He was grieved in what was happening. He put on sackcloth. Now some of you are thinking, well, if I'm going to get right with God, I got to be a bad dresser. No, that's not what it's saying. Sackcloth was a lowly garment. It was a way of humbling himself. You don't have to be a bad dresser to follow Jesus. This was a sign. Hezekiah was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. When things get bad and then they get worse, you need to let God know you're willing to do whatever he wants. You need to set about finding God's will. Hezekiah moves to find God's will. You got to be willing not only to find it, you got to be willing to do it. I know a lot of you know a lot of verses, and I'm glad you know a lot of verses. You should memorize verses. I encourage you to memorize them and then memorize them again. Put them in your heart. But they don't do you any good if you don't practice them. And so we need to do them, you know, be doers of the word and not hearers only, as the scriptures tell us. Now, notice, he immediately went in the house of God. You know what the devil wants you to do as soon as something bad happens to you? Go off in a closet and stay by yourself. Oh, I don't want to be around anybody. You may not, but you need to. You need to be with other believers. You need to be with other praying people. Listen, there are times, and some of you have been there, there are times when you are so grieved you can't voice a prayer. But other believers can voice them for you. That's the beauty of a church, a church family, and a Sunday school class that will rally around you. He immediately goes to God's house. He's not hiding. He's going to God. You need to be faithful going to God. When things get worse, get over yourself. Get under the direction of the Lord. Surrender to God's will. Then seek God's word. 37:2. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the house of Shebna, the scribe and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet. When things get worse, it's nice to be around believing people. It's nice to have their encouragement. but you need to hear what God has to say. And if you need to hear what God has to say, you need to get into this book. You need to be where this book is taught. You need to be where this book is preached. And so he is going to get himself close to Isaiah because Isaiah is speaking the word of the Lord. When the devil wants to cover you in fear, you need to stand in faith. Well, how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. 37:6, Isaiah said to them, "Thus says the Lord, be not afraid of the words you have heard. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Sennacherib is bad. Sennacherib has bad armies. Sennacherib is sending his army commanders to do bad things. He thinks he's got it all. God says, don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to what the devil tells you. Listen, when people tell you things that aren't in accordance with God's word, let it go. Don't let it pull you down. And don't buddy up to somebody that's living an ungodly life. They're not going to lead you in God's way. And so you pull yourself to God, you hold to him, you get in God's word, you surrender to God's will, and you let God's word feed you, and you move according to God's purposes. And when things are bad and things get worse, one other, you search for God's way. Verse 14, Hezekiah gets a letter from a messenger. The letter's meant to destroy Hezekiah. Oh, it's bad. It really is. Multiple pages. It's meant to destroy him. But Hezekiah knows what to do when things get worse. It was a bad letter. It was laying out all the evil that was going to come upon the city of Jerusalem. In 37:15, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. You know, you have a choice. Am I going to do things the world's way, or am I going to do things God's way? We need to do things God's way. He went to God's house. He took that book of letters. He spread it out on the altar. He looked up at God and said, God, do you see this? Look at what they're saying. You ever gotten one of those letters? You know, one of those threatening letters? I used to get them. They were unsigned. You know what you should do with an unsigned letter? Throw it away. If somebody doesn't have the guts to sign a letter, then it's not worth you paying any attention to it. And you go to God with such things. I remember a day that I brought one before the church, and I just laid it out before the church and said, "This, we can't stand by this stuff." You know, things that are ungodly, things that are not of God, do not deserve our attention. Hezekiah saying, God, handle this. Handle it. You do it. One of the things that you've got to get into your head is you cannot do it. God's got to do it. If it's something you can handle, handle it. Get it done. Move on. But if it is outside your purview, outside of what you can do, above your pay grade, let God have it. Have you ever heard, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there? That's exactly what Hezekiah does. That's exactly what you and I need to do. God can handle it. Isaiah 37:36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth. Oh, this is good. Look at this. And the angel of the Lord went forth and smote. That means he messed them up good. Smote 185,000. When they rose up early in the morning, behold, they were all dead. Now get this. They've prayed. They've left it with God. Sennacherib's army out there ready to go. Inside, they don't have 2,000 men to get on horses to go to war. God says, Hezekiah says, God, you handle it. He is able to go to sleep. I don't know about you, but when I have those situations, sleep doesn't come that easy. But he goes to sleep. He wakes up, they're all dead. By the way, that's 185,000 dead. One angel. Yeah, angels are bad. Angels can handle stuff. God's angels. But, God takes care of it. Oh, that's not the end. 37:38. You remember what Hezekiah was told? Remember that God told Hezekiah not to worry about Sennacherib, that he would be handled in his own land? Look at this. Sennacherib's sons smote him, messed him up, with a sword, and they escaped. In his own home, his own sons took his life. What is this telling you? It's telling you that Hezekiah found victory when things got worse. Hezekiah found victory doing what God led him to do. Surrendering to God's will, seeking God's word, and searching for God's way. And when he did, God took care of it. God blessed him. My friend, you may be in a mess, and it may be getting worse, and you may be tempted and looking in a lot of ways to try to do some things that God doesn't want you to do. You've got to be faithful to God, surrender to God's will. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, not my will, but your will be done. That's what we have to do. Lord, you do it your way, by your will. Whatever your will is, I'm ready for it. Some of you will say, well, if God will tell me his will, I'll do it. It doesn't work that way. If he's God and you believe in him, you commit to do it, whatever it is, then he will show it. Do his will, get into his word and get his word into you, and then do things God's way. The result is victory. Hezekiah found all the enemies dead. Well, my friend, what are you going to do with your troubles and your situations? Are you going to give them to God? Are you going to wrestle with them yourself and be defeated? Turn it over to Jesus. You may need to come to the altar today and just turn things over to Jesus. Let him have them all. He will take them. He can handle them. Keep them in his hands and out of yours. Some of you have turned them over again and again, and you keep taking them back. Don't take them back. Let him have them, and he will guide you. And my friend, not only will he help you as a believer, he will. And as a believer, we need to be surrendering to him and following his way and getting his word. But if you don't know Jesus, you need to come and just say, I want Jesus. You need to pray and invite Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. And he will do that this very day. If you don't know him, you need to come to find him. You need to receive him. Don't keep putting him off. Don't keep saying that you don't have time for him. Don't keep saying there's a better day. There is no better day. You may not live to a better day. Today's the day of salvation. You come to God today. Just come and just say, Brother Jerry, I want Jesus. Come to T.O., say, Brother T.O., I want Jesus. Listen, we know what that means. We will pray with you today. You will find Jesus. It may be you need a church home and God has said, this is the place. Well, come on. We need you in our family. God moves you. What are you going to do? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that you would move us to decisions that we need to make. Father, guide us to make that decision that you call upon us to do. Father, some are wrestling with situations, but they need to give them to you. Father, give them the strength and the will to follow your way. Father, just to let things go and let you have them and put things in your hands, not just for today, but for the remainder of our lives and eternity. Father, for those that do not know you, they are lost. Father, they're lost from you. They're lost from your purpose. They've been putting you off. Let today be the day they come to salvation, just to come and say, I want Jesus. Guide us today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing.